to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to a Monday all day long, but a beautiful Monday nonetheless. And Big Rig is on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Got out and about, or do you hunker down most of the weekend?
Weekends, I pretty much work at home and rest and hang out with the family.
There's a thing called rest?
A little bit.
Is that four letters?
Just a little bit.
You have small children. There's no rest.
No, not really. But I try.
Well, nonetheless, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you.
We got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today, our buddy Scott Buttram, who's the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, is going to call in. I was sitting there getting the show ready this morning, and I realized one of the lead stories I was going to be using on Dipper number 3 is from the Tribune. I thought, you know what? Got to call Scott. So, yep, lo and behold, he is available. 4 o'clock today, Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune. And then I got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, man. So hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first one, this is going to be interesting. Fake America. What am I talking about? Fake America. We're real. What? You know what, though? There's a whole lot of fake going on. We got fake meat. We got fake people. We got fake deep fakes. It's unbelievable. It's like fake everywhere. Is that the new trend? Anyway, fake America. That's number one. We'll talk about that on the Triple Dipper. And then number two, you know, periodically we have to do this. I have it and I call it international insecurity. So yes, and another round of national insecurity. We're going to talk about the things that are impacting our national security during the era of the Biden administration and give you my thoughts on where things are internationally, nationally, and otherwise. So national insecurity, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, there's a thing that's called NIMBY. And people like to call, you're just a NIMBY. NIMBY stands for not in my backyard. How about this? Birmingham just had 6 homicides in less than 24 hours this past weekend. Maybe we don't want that in our backyard. How about that? So that's where I am. We're going to talk about crime in Alabama, especially what happened this past weekend in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama, in conjunction with our discussion with Scott Buttram as number three on the Triple Dipper, not in my backyard. There you go. It's a mess, man. Total mess. All right, let me jump over here to my opening comments, the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, as always, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across North Alabama, is the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. Every location of Southern Immediate Care opens 7 days a week. They'll see all ages. And folks, these are some amazing people. So check them out. You need medical attention. Southern Immediate Care, sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue every single day. All right. All you Air Force types, prepare to stand to your feet. I'm about to spend a minute talking about the opening lines of the U.S. Air Force song. Now, and every branch of the service has got their own song, if you didn't already know it. I mean, basically, it's the anthem of that particular branch of service. And the official song of the U.S. Air Force was written in 1939 by Robert Crawford. It was the result of a contest, believe it or not. The Army Air Corps didn't have a budget of its own, so Liberty Magazine stepped in and offered a $1,000 prize. Over 700 submissions came in, but then it still had to be set to music, and that's where Robert Crawford came in. And the result is the Air Force song as we know it today. But it's the opening line that I want to focus on for a minute. The opening line of the Air Force song starts off by saying, "Off we go into the wild blue yonder." I mean, what is that? What's a wild blue yonder? Collins Dictionary calls it a journey to a faraway place which is unfamiliar or mysterious. All right. It's apparently an American idiom, an expression used to refer to the open sea or sky, a destination of an indeterminate distance. So basically, it's the start of an adventure. It's a stepping off into a path you can't see the end of. You're in it for whatever you can see today and hope for tomorrow, but there's really just no telling. Off you go into the wild blue yonder. Well, the phrase came back to me in response to two things that I experienced in the last couple of days. The first was the Moms for Liberty event that Charlene and I attended this past weekend. The other was an article that I read just this morning. So, first the article. I would say the epitome of physically stepping off into the wild blue yonder occurred in August of 1960 when U.S. Air Force Captain Joseph Kittinger set records that no man ever expected. Kittinger was a fighter pilot who flew nearly 500 combat missions as an F-4 fighter pilot in Vietnam. In 1972, he was shot down, spent a year in the infamous Hanoi Hilton prison camp. He retired in 1978 with 6 Distinguished Flying Crosses and 2 Silver Stars. But what he did in 1960 was perhaps the craziest part of his highly decorated career. 12 years before being shot down in Vietnam, Kittinger bailed out of his aircraft on purpose. Wearing a pressurized suit like an astronaut, Captain Kittinger had ascended in an open-air gondola suspended under a large helium balloon, and at over 100,000 feet, he exited the craft for a freefall that lasted almost 5 full minutes. I mean, think about it. He was so high, over 19 miles in the air, 19 miles, that he could see the curvature of the Earth and the darkness of space. And the Earth below him was actually socked in by cloud cover. The altitude was so extreme that it was only his suit that protected him from the extreme cold, the lack of oxygen, and pressure that could have boiled his body fluids. He fell at speeds up to 600 miles per hour until he reached 14,000 feet. You know, just 2.5 miles up. And then he popped his canopy and became the man who had both the highest parachute jump and the longest free fall in history all in one day. Why would he do that? Well, Kittinger was a test pilot, and the Air Force needed to know what the options were for high-level bailouts, so Kittinger volunteered. He volunteered, and he stepped off into the wild blue yonder just to see where it would go. But I told you the phrase came to mind for two reasons. The story of Joseph Kittinger was just one. A story that was truly the physical embodiment of just being the right guy at the right time to do the unknown and see where it took him. But the other was a bit more figurative, but still every bit as daring. This past weekend, Charlene and I had the pleasure of attending the Moms for Liberty event at Trash Panda Stadium in Huntsville. The speaker was Riley Gaines, the former All-American swimmer for the University of Kentucky. Riley has become famous the world over as a champion for female athletes and really as a champion for women, period. She did an amazing job, and I kept having to remind myself that this poised, articulate, funny, and engaging speaker who never once used notes to give her 45-minute speech is only 23 years old. Riley talked about how she had been a competitive swimmer since she was 4 years old. She had worked and slaved and toiled and competed. She had earned her way into a scholarship swimming at the Division I level in the SEC. She was at the pinnacle of her sport and nearly unbeatable. And then she began to hear about some swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania who was just like bashing women's records left and right. You know the story. It was a man who claims to be a woman. A man who had been a mediocre swimmer in the men's competitions was now besting women's teams at every meet. So at one meet, Riley was suddenly confronted by this naked man in her locker room and talked about the absolute violation of it. And then she had to swim against him in her best event, the 200 meters. In spite of his physical advantages, Riley tied him to the 100th of a second. And the judges, they didn't know what to do. They were flummoxed. 100th of a second. We're dead tie. And the decision then shocked Riley when they decided that in spite of the tie, that they would avoid the controversy and give the trophy to the man pretending to be a woman. Well, at that point, the switch flipped. You see, Riley Gaines had already taken the DCAT test and had been accepted into dental school. She had dreams of becoming an endodontist. And every bit of that was set aside as the champion swimmer then became a champion advocate. Riley set it all aside and stepped off into the wild blue yonder. She has now since then testified before Congress. She has spoken at major conferences to include CPAC. She has been threatened, harangued, and protested on college campuses. She has faced threats, but she chose to all take this plunge willingly. She's out there in the wild blue, having no idea where it will end, but as sure as she can be, she was called for, quote, such a time as this, in her own words. And it's working. I mean, as surely as Captain Joseph Kittinger paved the way for extreme altitude bailouts for high-flying pilots, Riley Gaines has been inspiring other female athletes to step up and step out. More and more, we're hearing the voices seeing the pushback. Legislation at the state and federal levels being worked on. Female sports teams at all levels are refusing to compete against the mismatched placement of men and women's sports. Y'all, this is what has to happen. At some point, in every great cause, there is that one person who has to step up and step out and step off into the wild blue yonder. And it might seem like a free fall, but it's for a purpose. It is needed. And we need more people like Riley Gaines to do just that. Because if we don't, then we run the risk of not only never knowing, but of never winning. The enemy will do all it can to shoot down your plane, but Joseph Kittinger proved you can survive it. And the left will do all it can to shoot down your career, your values, your traditions, but Riley Gaines is proving you can survive it. And off we go into the wild blue yonder. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, she did an amazing job, by the way. Congratulations to Moms for Liberty from Madison, putting on a stellar event, sold out crowd. And Riley Gaines is 23 years old? I had no idea at 23 years old what I could say or do for 45 minutes with no notes in front of a large crowd of strangers. She just nailed it. But what she did, though, really, was she stepped off into the wild blue yonder. And she's on a free fall right now, but it's a controlled descent, let me just tell you. And she's doing amazing work for such a time as this. And we need more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Got a bunch of text messages already. If you want to text it or call in, either one, same number, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number. And by the way, we've got like over 1,000 plus people into the text system, and that's just the ones who were like engaging with text messages. So jump on in where you can. Hang on, like they say on Andy Griffith. Anyway, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So Scott from Athens said, spent time today watching the Gingrich made documentary about George Washington. He said, tears, man, tears. Then I read his farewell address. It's really profound. The spirit of the parties really hits hard right now. Yes, indeed, sir. It is. I think I know exactly the speech you're talking about. I'll have to check out that documentary. Teresa from Town Creek says, breaking, truckers from the following states have stated they will not be delivering. And I'll be honest with you, Teresa, I see that. I take it with a big grain of salt. Not that I don't like the idea. I get it. But they all work for companies, and they all have contracts with, you know, folks they got a haul for, and I don't think they're going to have the ability just to say, yeah, we're not going to New York. I don't know how they're going to wind up making that actually come about. So if there's going to be a true impact to the economy, I'm curious to see how they're going to make it work. Allie from Athens says, it was my joy to be in the audience with you and Charlene the Lovely, listening to the remarkable Riley. What a wonderful evening. It was, Allie. It was good to see you there, too, by the way. Talk about the Moms for Liberty event. Good stuff, man. That was such a great event, too. Emily Jones, by the way, Big Rig, who called in, you know, calls in quite regularly. But Emily also spoke. Man, she did an amazing job. And I think she's even told me before she's not real used to speaking. You would never have known it. She nailed it. So big crowd. I know we had at least one congressman, multiple state legislators, our state auditor, and I can't tell you how many ruffians we met out there in the audience too. They'd come by and say something about the show. It was a good night, great night. TL from Huntsville, inspiring monologue, Phil, for such a time as this. We are all in it together. Stay in the fight. Thank you, TL. Thomas from Athens, fake America. With the upsurge in many fraudulent mail-in ballots, lack of ID checking, and ballot harvesting, I think the 2024 election will be fake, not fair, Democratic elections. Well, let's hope not, Thomas. And we can't control other states, but we control ours. And right now, they got good things going on here. Stay in, vote no matter what. Frank from Huntsville says, it's hard to comprehend that so many people think it's okay for a man to use the same bathrooms and locker rooms as the women, and you don't see women identifying as men entering men's competitions. Well, you do occasionally. They just don't do very well. just saying. There have been a few attempts. In fact, there was a story. Gosh, this has been like a year ago, and there was a the NHL decided to do something they called like Rainbow Night or something crazy. I forget what, and they were allowing transgender hockey teams to play each other. So the team of men who identified as women pretty much dominated the floor. And one dude identifying as a woman just crushed another woman against the boards.
That's like the worst sport.
And broke her skull.
Oh my God.
I mean, she had to be carried off the ice.
That's like the worst sport for a man or a woman to be involved in.
Yeah, maybe that in MMA. I don't know. I mean, mixed martial arts. I look at it and think, someone's going to get killed doing this. It's not funny, but somebody's going to get killed doing this. Mm-hmm. John from Huntsville, feeling nice monologue. Happy President's Day to you and Big Rig. Looking forward to another awesome show. Thank you, John. Two more before we go to the break. Cameron from Decatur says, every February. Oh, my gosh, Cameron, I can't read that whole thing, man. You sent me a book, brother. You can't do that to me. Thank you, Cameron, for your very long text. I'll have to come back and read it, but it has something to do with the civil rights movement. And thank you very much, Cameron. I'll come back to you, brother. Jeremy from Huntsville just says simply, great monologue, Phil. Love it when you educate me. Well, Jeremy, if I did, I'm glad. But I have a feeling that you were pretty much highly educated on your own. So this past weekend, like I said, Moms for Liberty did their thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have already heard of at least two other counties looking, maybe three, looking to have a chapter. This is going places, and I'm excited about it because grassroots is where it's at. Allison Sinclair, who does a radio show as part of the 1819 network, she was there emceeing, and she's got an organization she started, much like Moms for Liberty, but it was very very local down, I think it's Shelby County, called Local Alabama, and they've made waves. And it's just cool to see people gathering together going, you know what? In a respectful, solid, and conservative way, we know how to just make waves. And they are making a difference, absolutely making a difference. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take every bit of that plus people stepping off into the wild blue yonder, like I said. So, listen, we're going to head to a break here momentarily. We come right back. This first section that I'm doing on the show, Fake America. What is it actually about life in America where the real gets replaced with the fake so often? Why is that? Is this a new trend or has it always been that way? I don't recall in my lifetime, with the exception of processed sugar, I don't recall there being. I mean, when I was a kid, there was this move to get away from butter and go to margarine, but that was about it. You know, and here we are now, and it's fake meat, fake advertising. Fake voices, fake women. It's unreal. Y'all stay tuned. We'll talk about it. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Okay, so I got to read one text real quick. Jenny from Decatur. Jenny, I totally get it, but I'm gonna go ahead and say something here. She says, my daughter lives in Uniontown and said she's just about given up on voting because the people there that count the votes just count them like they choose to. Said it's extremely frustrating and nobody's going to do anything about it. Okay, so Jenny, I want you to know this first of all. Yes, they are. And she can report anything. But just know this, there have been multiple Secretary of State and Attorney General investigations into Uniontown that have resulted in action. And if they persist and do it again, they'll come and investigate again. Each one is a standalone crime if there's voter fraud or voter suppression. That being said, and I know, by the way, I use Uniontown as an example. Do you know a few years back, the population of Uniontown, 112% of the population voted. How does that happen? You only have 100%, but you had 112 vote. Pretty sure that they were casting votes in the graveyard. I don't know how it happened. But all that to say, Jenny, tell your daughter that the only thing that prevents her vote from counting is not voting. If she doesn't, if she chooses not to vote, she absolutely will not get her way. If she votes and they don't count it, it's not her fault. But if she doesn't vote, she has given over to their, you know, basically their notions. They're trying to drive her away at that point, and they're winning. So just tell her to hang in there, keep doing what she's doing, and vote like she means it. And then if she has real concerns or sees something, she should consider, Jenny, tell your daughter, she should consider the fact that the Secretary of State right now is looking for people to be poll watchers. And they do get paid a small amount to be a poll watcher that day and watch for irregularities and be there to assist. So just saying, there's my public service announcement for the day. Even in Uniontown, go vote. Don't not vote. Go vote. It is your constitutional right. If they try to steal it from you, that's one thing, but don't give it away. Okay. Fake America. Let's talk. Can we talk for a second? Fake America. What is it, and Big Rig, you chime in whenever you want to, man, but what is it about modern America that so much stuff is fake? Now, when I was a kid, like I said earlier, I remember when there was all this discussion about, well, butter's bad for you. Well, by the way, we switched back to butter in my house. Butter's bad for you, so you need to use like fake butter. And then you find out later on, it's not good for you either. Maybe worse. So, and they had one of the whole, the brand was actually called, I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. You're not even pretending now. You're just saying, we're not butter and we know it. All that to say, what it's like the goal of having fake stuff, fake realities, pretending we're something that we're not, has just grown and grown. And to the point that it's almost obnoxious. And sometimes it's a little gross. I got to ask you, man, if I told you that the chicken on your plate was grown in a petri dish in a lab, would it make you hungrier or less hungry?
Less hungry.
Oh, yeah? Like, ain't going to do it?
I don't want a part in that.
You don't? No. No part in that whatsoever, huh?
Not at all.
All right, so if I told you that that's a thing now, like they're growing steak meat, they're growing pork meat, they're growing chicken meat in labs.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen the videos. It's disgusting.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at it and go, okay, at some point, are you at least going to, like, I don't know, paint some stripes on that thing and make it pretend like it's meat? Because it looks like this kind of a flappy little fleshy thing laying on a dish.
I mean, it doesn't take much for me. I recently saw a video on how hot dogs are. Like,
you shouldn't have done that.
In underneath the microscope.
Shouldn't have done that.
Oh, nasty. Never.
You should not have done that.
Stopped eating hot dogs.
I highly recommend you not do that ever again. just go ahead and anticipate that it's going to be bad. But that's why they have the old saying about it is you don't want to watch the sausage getting made.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, fake meat. Here's a story that I brought up about 6-7 months ago. I'm going to refresh your memory on this. June of last year, I pulled this one from The Guardian. Lab-grown meat. Oh, my God, I hate even saying that. I've eaten a lot of stuff in my day, by the way. I know for a fact there were things I ate in Afghanistan living out among the Afghan people that I would never eat over here. I get it. And there's times when I'm pretty sure that it was not something that should ever be USDA approved. Goat knuckle and rice. What is a goat knuckle? I don't have any idea, but
you,
I ate it.
You should look into McDonald's French fries.
I don't want to look into McDonald's. Stop it. Now, listen, you're getting all into my business now.
Google it. It's not good.
Lab-grown meat will be able to be sold to U.S. consumers for the first time, with the federal government granting permission for two separate businesses to offer their chicken products to people. Two companies. One of them calls themselves Upside Foods. I think they're upside down. Anyway, Upside Foods. And the other one, they really worked hard on their name. Their company name is called Good Meat. Hey, what are we going to call ourselves? I don't know. Call it Good Meat. There you go. Truth in advertising, right? Upside Foods and Good Meat said they have been given permission by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to produce and sell chicken that has been grown from a cluster of sample animal cells in large metal vats. I mean, it's not even a dish. It's like a pot of meat growing. That's just cloned, fungus.
Cloned meat.
God, it's awful. The approval means that the U.S. becomes only the second country in the world after Singapore. Oh, there's. I'm so glad we're following Singapore. To allow the sale of meat grown from animal cells, a breakthrough touted by the nascent industry as being better for both animals, which aren't harmed in the process, and the environment. Notice how they left off humans. Well, this fake meat is good for the environment and for the animals. How about the people that are supposed to eat it? I mean, do we like grow a third eye after you've eaten this stuff for a while?
Probably. We don't know the long-term effects yet.
Yeah. So, in Singapore. Okay. So Josh Titrick, the guy who is the chief executive for Good Meat, I'm still cracking up over that name, is Good Meat. Good Meat has been growing, is selling its lab-grown chicken at hawker stalls. What's a hawker stall? Is that like they're hawking their wares, like it's a like a booth you set up at the county fair? They set up at the county fair and sell fake meat? Get your fake meat here. Hey, get, anyway, hawker stalls, butchers, and restaurants in Singapore since 2020, right next to dog and iguana, I guess. Iguana sausage and dog patties right next to the fake meat in the hawker stall in Singapore. I'm on a roll right now, aren't I, brother? All right, so.
I'm not hungry today.
I just grossed out. Honey, we're having salads for dinner. The nascent lab-grown meat sector, God almighty, has gathered pace in the U.S. over the past years with a number of different startups jostling for position to challenge the plant-based offerings like the Impossible Burger, which have struggled of late. That's because they suck.
Who does that? Is that Burger King?
Burger King. I had one time. I thought, you know, I'm going to try it so I can say I did.
Does that mean it's not real meat?
I was underwhelmed. Yeah, it's made out of vegetables.
Oh, okay.
They just like grind it up and make it into a patty and pretend. Here's the idea. If you really, really, really want the taste of meat, then eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. The new products are not vegetarian, but rather they are meat that has been grown. God, see, that should not be a thing. What do you do? Well, I'm a row cropper. What do you grow? Meat. Got a whole field. Back 40's plowed for meat. In a setting more like the pharmaceutical industry than the food sector, with a scraping of cells taken from an animal such as a cow or a chicken and then multiplied into cuts of meat in bioreactors. See, I'm going to tell you right now, there are words that should not be used in conjunction with the meat that we're going to eat, like scraping of cells, bioreactors, and grown. Just, The ruinous impact that meat production currently has upon the environment via greenhouse gas emissions and deforestation and the air and water pollution, yada, yada, yada. Okay, first of all, just so you know, there are places in the U.S. where this is already being sold. Can you guess where the first restaurant may be?
California.
Hey, you're on a roll. Can you narrow it down in California?
I don't know. Hollywood?
San Francisco.
Nice.
Why would it not be San Francisco?
Of course.
That's right. All things alternative are in San Francisco. While Good Meat product will also be sold at a, quote, undisclosed restaurant in Washington, D.C. Let me just say, if I come to your restaurant and it was undisclosed to me that what you laid on my plate was a fake meatball or something, I'm gonna have a problem with management by the time my meal's over with. Just so you know. All right, so fake meat. We're in America right now, and apparently it's also in Singapore. You may be pleased to know that your Alabama state legislature, while not always doing everything we wish they would do, is on the idea of banning fake meat. So story here on 1819 News came out over the weekend. Alabama saving lives by banning lab-grown meat. So it's a guest piece by someone named Jennifer O'Connell. And I believe she's in the farming industry. But she says, having moved away from a state that shoves synthetic meat and byproducts down the public's throat at every possible opportunity, which I think is California, it is heartening that the Alabama Senate just voted 32-0 to ban lab-grown meat. They're dubbing it Frankenfood. I wish I had thought of that. They're dubbing it Frankenfood, a method of meat production supposedly better for the environment. But then she goes on to say that while it's being pushed like the arrival of the second coming, with Time magazine even excoriating states like Alabama, who is seeking to ban widespread use and distribution of this lab creation, studies are beginning to show that these touted claims may actually be an oversell. She points out that researchers at the University of California have found that lab-grown or cultivated meat, as they call it. Here's my idea of cultivated meat. Corn-fed beef. That's my idea of cultivated. Just saying. Leave it there.
My wife just texted me, actually, and she said that she saw something where they're thinking about bringing it into schools.
No.
The fake meat.
Tell her if she knows where. If it's in Alabama, I want to know. But
yeah, I don't know yet her sources, but.
Yes. When I was a kid, it was square pizza and
square pizza was the best.
Square pizza was awesome. Square pizza and tater tots on Fridays.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate meal. Tater tots and square pizza.
And they
now,
did, they
now
did
they're going to serve fake meat.
They did this peanut butter and honey sandwich that was pretty good too.
Oh yeah. You can go a long way on peanut butter and honey. That's backpacking food right there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, finish this up real quick before the break. According to one nutritionist, the long-term plan for lab meat production is to begin improving the product by injecting vitamins and additives. Oh, it's God almighty. And then she goes on to say that this is a Trojan horse designed to destroy our independence, our freedom, and our generational footprint in the farming industry. Alabama's on the right track, she says. Cut off the idea of lab-grown meat at the pass. Millions of years of successfully sustaining human and animal life should have greater weight than just untested lab innovations, particularly when the drivers behind it have a suspicious history and spotty results. All right, we're in number one of the triple dipper, fake America. Like, for instance, fake meat. I'll tell you about one of our neighboring states that just went after it and canceling it, and then we'll jump into the other stuff that's fake. It's unreal. Fake America. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Got some text messages coming in about the fake meat situation. I mean, I'm saying Alabamians are having none of it. At least the ruffians are not. By the way, you might want to know, I didn't get a chance to get it for the thing before I move away from the fake meat into the other fake stuff. Ron DeSantis' story came out just a couple weeks ago. He was backing legislative efforts in Florida to prevent lab-grown or cultivated meat from being made or sold in Florida. He says, I know the legislature is doing a bill to protect our meat, said DeSantis, while appearing at a local campus. He says, you need meat, okay? We're going to have meat in Florida, and we're not going to have fake meat. Like, that doesn't work, he says. The proponents of a ban have said the issue is about protecting Florida's cattle industry, but one of the sponsors also said it's also about food safety. I would say it's both. I mean, and by the way, this is a thing. You cannot possibly say that finally, after, you know, all the hundreds of thousands of years of people eating meat, that suddenly we have a new day where, well, we got to get away from that, man. Did you not know? That's bad for the environment. Put diapers on the cows. We gotta save the flatulence from preventing a hole in the ozone. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But that's really where we are. You weren't in the studio and we talked about cow farts in the past, man, because I mean it gets pretty awful. But
no, that was funny. Putting a diaper on a cow.
Have you not heard that story?
No, I haven't.
Dude, this is real. You go ahead and look it up on your computer right now. Diapers on cows.
Okay.
I guarantee you'll find it. There's these it saves the it's trying to reduce the amount of methane going into the atmosphere. They're claiming that cattle farming is harming the environment, not because of, I don't know what, but because of the cow flatulence. Are you finding it?
Oh, yeah.
This is a first. We are looking at, I mean, I'm watching the face right now to see the reaction as he's reading the article.
French dairy giant Danone announced in mid-January it is considering putting masks on cows to trap their burps.
Oh, masks too.
In effort to reduce the methane emissions by 30% by 2030.
They're putting masks on them too?
Yeah, by 2030.
Why don't we just lock them in a bubble? We'll just have all cows shall be in a bubble. And you have to enter the bubble to be able to milk the cow. So you said dairy farms are putting masks on them. And then what about the diapers? You not see the diaper
one?
Yeah,
there's a picture here, and it looks like a bed sheet they were wrapping around.
We are so far afield right now. This is not even my topic. This happens every time I talk about this. We get into cow flatulence. Next thing you know, all we're doing is talking about cow flatulence. Anyway, all right.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Badger from Athens, by the way, says pilot lights on the back of cows.
Is that the new firecracker on the back of the tail?
got a running pilot light. You cow walking around like a flamethrower.
like that scene on Joe Dirt.
Oh, God. You can tell that I used to be a youth pastor. Okay. Raven from Russellville says, we have safe spaces for all these snowflakes. Let's make Alabama a safe space for American patriots. I'm with you, man. That's right. We eat red meat, and we don't put diapers on our cows. By golly. Pilot lights on a cow. Todd from Huntsville says, the Soylent Green was science fiction 50-plus years ago. Yeah, so, yes. You're like the third or fourth person in a row to go to Soylent Green. John C. from Madison says the same thing, Soylent Green. Gina from Pell City says, China has 1,200 coal power plants. USA is not the problem. Yes, ma'am. Brandy from Athens, Mammoth Meat Burgers and Black Soldierly Milkshake. Oh, yeah, this is Soldier Fly, I think you meant. Oh, yes. Yeah, so, yes, Black Soldier Fly Larva Milk. I know, it's getting bad. It's a story, though, we had on here. Google this one. You ready? Go ahead and look it up. Black Soldier Fly Larva Milk. Oh, my gosh. Like, why is that even a thing? And then on top of that, we got Mammoth Meat Hamburgers. Like, they cloned something that died, you know, 40,000 years ago. Did you find Black? I think it's called Black Soldier Fly Larva Milk. My audience is getting so grossed out right now.
Larva milk.
Yeah. Did you find it?
Yeah, I found a video.
Oh, no. I don't want to see the video. All right. Scott from Huntsville says, says dog. It's good on soup.
It's a protein alternative.
Nice. It's a, okay, good. I'm so glad for somebody that it is. Dustin from Hillsborough says, good meat is people. It's people. It's people. That's the same as Soylent Green.
John from Harvest said, since cow farts harm the environment, I'm doing my part by eating them.
Nice. See?
Eating the farts?
No, bro. The meat. Okay. Marcus from Huntsville says, did you ever wonder why nobody's going to trying to take meat and make it taste like vegetables? There's a good reason for that, I'm saying. And then Brian from Decatur, best way to battle voter fraud, going back to our last topic, is to make it harder for them to be successful by voting. The more numbers you put in, means the more numbers they have to overcome. All right, more on this. We'll try to reel it in here momentarily. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're moving to number three on the Triple Dipper right now here in the third hour. I'm calling this Not in My Backyard. And it's sometimes used as a derogatory term. You're a NIMBY. Well, what does a NIMBY mean? It means there's something going on in society, and I don't want that in my backyard. Well, how about this? The crime rate in certain parts of Alabama is ranked among some of the worst per capita in the nation. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. And I'll just have to go ahead and tell you that one of the friends of this show who is co-hosted or guest hosted for me more than once is Scott Buttram. He's the publisher of the Trustful Tribune. He is on the line right now. And Scott, hello to you, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. How are you and the rest of you?
We is all good. In fact, I just got a text here. John from Huntsville says, Phil, tell Scott Buttram that John from Huntsville is looking forward to hearing his brilliant commentary. So there you go. The bar has now been set high.
John puts a lot of pressure on me. Puts a lot of pressure on me, Phil. I appreciate John. You know he's listening, and you know he's paying attention.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to get a text from him every time I fill in for you, and I appreciate him. I really appreciate it.
Hey man, listen. This having you on today was sparked by a story in the Tribune, your Tribune, this morning. I mean, the headline says it all. It says Birmingham has been rocked to its core. Six homicides on Friday alone shakes the city.
Yeah,
that's unreal, man.
It was absolutely surreal, and of course, as you know, we've been here in Trustful for 15 years, and the Birmingham city limits comes right up to Trustful, so we cover a lot, especially in eastern Birmingham. We've got a very strong audience in that part of the city, but we pick up the stories, and it is our largest city in our area. It's no longer the largest city in Alabama. It's dropped, I think, to fourth in terms of population, but it's important to our area, the greater Birmingham area, because a lot of people work there. A lot of people work downtown, and you want them to succeed. But they're dealing with issues in Birmingham that is going to limit the success, and crime is one of those key issues, education being the other. some of the poor schools in the state of Alabama, multiple schools on the state failing school list, even though we're not allowed to call them failing schools anymore.
Yeah.
If nobody's getting an education, that's a failure, if that was your job. So Friday was surreal. Even after all these years of covering Birmingham, it was surreal. Let me back up and say that in 2022, Birmingham's homicide rate was the highest in over 20 years.
Wow.
Declined a little bit in 23. Dropped a little bit, which, you know, it'd been going the other direction, so we'll count that as a win. 2024 actually started off very well for Birmingham in terms of homicide. There had only been 8 homicides in Birmingham in 2024. I would say they average about 15 a month.
Yeah.
So to have 8 at mid February was pretty good. By the end of the day Friday, it was up to 14.
Yeah.
So
unreal.
It is unreal, and it is still lower than a typical Birmingham month, but we've also got 10, 11 days left, so we don't know.
Yeah, but you also don't usually see 6 of them in one whack like that. I mean, it's
in one whack. Yeah. And I will tell you that both of those incidents are extremely concerning. Usually it is either domestic or a confrontation among acquaintances. Let's take the first one. So we get an alert that Birmingham police are in their route to a triple homicide. And these were 4 guys, including one City of Birmingham employee that had just gotten off work. They're standing in the field talking to each other, and all 3 are gunned down.
Wow.
Within 2 to 3 hours of that, we get another alert that Birmingham is en route to a double homicide. This was a young couple that disappeared on Valentine's Day, left the house going to see a movie, and were not seen again for 2 days until they were found dead in their vehicle over in the Wylam area. And I don't think they were from the Wylam area.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, too, Wylam, I did a lot of my growing up in Wylam. It's an old part of West Birmingham. Yep. I think this murder, if I'm not mistaken, the bodies were found just like mere blocks away from where my grandmother used to live.
There is a high probability of that, because Wylam's actually a small community within Birmingham.
Yeah.
And you would be very familiar with it. My grandparents' first home was in Bush Hills.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, right there in Inslee.
Yeah.
And I don't drive through that area during daylight anymore. So that's how much this city has changed. But, Phil, before they got to the double homicide, we were notified that a 4th victim from the triple homicide had died. So now it was a quadruple homicide.
Golly, Mom.
And we've talked to the police. Now, the investigation could lead to something tomorrow, but what the police are saying is, we just think these were 4 guys standing in a field just talking. You know, we don't have any reason to believe they were doing anything wrong, they were involved in any kind of criminal activity at this point. We think they were just standing there talking, and they were all gunned down, all 4 of them. Even the 4th that went to the hospital didn't make it. So, that's unusual. That's not usually the way these things unfold. And the young couple, I think the young lady was pregnant. They were planning to be married. This guy had a decent job, and they had a future in front of them. They leave on Valentine's, go to a movie, and they don't find them again for 2 days in their car, dead, and had both been shot. So it's just kind of almost the law of averages beginning to catch up with itself after a start to the year that looked like it could be a real uptick for Birmingham in terms of getting the homicides down. They were off to such a good start, but the numbers are awfully high now, and it is concerning. I mean, we're just talking about homicides, Phil. We're not talking about rapes. We're not talking about assaults. We're not talking about armed robberies, carjackings, all of that. Birmingham is the leader in all of it.
People don't realize, and it's an unfortunate circumstance. I mean, I wrote a piece a while back. I called it "Has the Magic City Become the Tragic City?" Because Birmingham is a beautiful city filled with wonderful people. A lot of things going for it, but this crime rate is. And I think it's exacerbated by several things. I think there's a lack of a full funding and recruiting for the police department. I think they struggle there, right, like a lot of big cities do nowadays because of all the, yep, the liberal policies and the defund movement and the Black Lives Matter and all of it. But then the other piece is this administration under Randall Woodfin has presided over the loss of population. I mean, because, yep, you know, they've gone, yep, down in size during his tenure, and they have presided over the increase in crime. They're one of the highest per capita murder rate cities in the nation. And at some point, someone's going to have to go, well, he's young and hip and cool, but he can't run a city to save his life.
Well, all of that's true. Literally everything you said is true, and that's been part of Birmingham's problem for decades, is leadership. And Phil, you can go back to the '60s and leadership in Birmingham when the city was predominantly white. Leadership and the way they handled the civil rights movement, you got to try to be as bad at it as
it
was.
Yeah,
you got to put effort into that. And the way they handled it. What I've come to understand about Birmingham is it doesn't matter if it's predominantly white, predominantly black, doesn't matter if the mayor's white, doesn't matter if the mayor's black, doesn't matter. Whatever Birmingham has accomplished, it has accomplished in spite of itself, not because of itself. And at this point, it's just caught up with it. People are moving out. Yeah. Why would any family with children move to a place that has more failing schools on the state list than any other school district in Alabama, except maybe Mobile? So might want to keep that in the back of our minds. It's what's happening here is probably going to start happening there as well eventually. But Randall Woodfin is also a former school board president, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
And education has declined dramatically under him. It was not good. It's gotten worse under his leadership. And he's more concerned about going on social media and talking about state and national issues, Birmingham is not a player in either of those. But he's more concerned with playing the political game than put leadership and getting things straight in the city. Yeah. And even when he does, there tends to be a focus on the downtown. A nice job revitalizing itself in some ways. Buildings are still empty, by the way.
Yeah.
But at least they've got some ground floor space occupied with restaurants and whatnot. But people don't really want to go down there, regardless of how nice the restaurants may be, because you got to get out of your car and get into the restaurant.
It's exactly so right.
It's not a good omen for our bigger cities in Alabama, and Birmingham is kind of the poster child and everything wrong that you could do in a city.
Well, and I'll tell you too, Scott, there's some things that I think were overt. I mean, some of it is trickle down policies that are bad, yeah, and cultural decline in a certain area. But there are actual policies, and with about a minute and a half left here, I'll point out a couple of them. It just in the last couple of years, Randall Woodfin came out and did a blanket pardon of anyone who had ever been convicted for a minor drug possession charge in the city of Birmingham, right, back to 1992. I'm not sure he was even born in 1992, but the reality is what he's doing there is saying, we're going to go pretend those kind of crimes didn't even exist anymore. And that sends a signal. And the other thing he did was he came out and said the city of Birmingham will no longer allow what are often referred to as no-knock warrants, where if you have just cause or reasonable suspicion of something occurring behind a door, you can go through the door in a dynamic entry as opposed to having to knock and announce yourself and all that. No more. And you also, by the way, can't use flashbang grenades, which is a way of keeping the other side from grabbing their weapon. It destabilizes the bad guy, and it doesn't kill anyone. It just freaks people out. And but it's too hard. It's mean. It's just something we can't do in our city.
Well, and you mentioned a minute ago the problem they've got recruiting and keeping police officers.
Yeah,
that's amplified. I don't know how many cities there are in Jefferson County, but it's over 30. Most of us have police departments. And if we can hire a trained officer from Birmingham that's already gone through the academy and is already certified with APOST and everything else, and we can hire that guy, we're going to hire that guy. And there's about 30 other cities in Jefferson County doing the same thing. and they don't want to work in Birmingham. When your mayor goes out and puts in the policies that you just went down and mentioned,
yeah.
And oh, by the way, look, the marijuana, going back to 92 and forgiving all of those, on the rare occasion that we do go downtown to go out to eat, when you get out of your car, you don't want to get shot between your car and the restaurant or harassed or shaken down or anything else. But you're going to catch a buzz between your car and the restaurant because it is in the air everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, wow.
They're openly smoking marijuana in Birmingham. And, you know, that doesn't freak me out except the point you made. When you start ignoring laws, where's the line?
Yeah.
Where's the line? And what are your police officers to do?
Yeah.
See somebody they know is violating, but they know the mayor doesn't want them enforcing it. What a lot of them are doing, Bartman.
Yeah, I know it, man. Hey, listen, brother, we ran up against time, but I really appreciate your availability. You always have great commentary, and I'll be talking to you soon, all right?
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you,
all
buddy.
Right. Take care, Scott. As Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, amazing story, sad story, but great reporting. Today's Trustful Tribune. Birmingham rocked to its core. Six homicides on Friday alone shakes the city. We'll talk about it more. Not in my backyard is what I'm saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm just going to have to call him out. So Brian from Huntsville just called during the break. Mm-hmm. And what? Tell me, how do you word that again?
He said, so if there's a dude pretending to be a chick, would that be considered fake meat?
Brian, why would you not come on the air and say that? That's epic. Brian from Huntsville, one of our longtime callers. Anyway, that's just funny. Let me get some text messages before I lose my opportunity to catch up and keep up. John from Harvest, reaching back here a little bit in the segment, said, Phil, since cow farts harm the environment, I'm doing my part by eating them. You're welcome. Thank you, brother. Raven from Russellville says, long live the cow farts. And as for the government, it's failed so miserably at national security. It's beginning to look like national security must be the responsibility of we the people. Be ready for whatever comes. Patriots stand too. Raven, I mean, yes, I agree. I think there is some measure of stand too that's got to be in place like right now. Daniel from Tullahoma, margarine is one molecule away from plastic. Wow. Wow.
That's literally everything at Walmart right now.
So. Yeah. Kathy from Madison says, another thing that's been discussed is inoculating cows with human vaccines like gene therapies that will then affect the humans, eliminating the need then for our human consent. Oh, wow. Kathy, wow. So what she's saying there is like all the different vaccines that, you know, we give kids and all that, they would inoculate cows and others with them so that when we eat the meat, we're already inoculated. Is that like putting fluoride in our water? For our teeth?
It makes sense.
In a bad way?
Yeah, in a bad way.
John C. from Madison says, Soylent Green. Then he says, yes, it's real. And he has, oh, yeah, you know what? I saw that. Why would they name their product that? There's actually a ready-to-drink meal called Soylent, which is a mint chocolate bottle. So it's in a green-topped bottle. And you're like, do you guys know what you're selling? Anyway, yes, I've seen that before. Thank you for bringing that back to my attention. Jeff from Indiana says, well, Impossible Burger at Burger King is looking better all the time. And it's bound to be better than lab-grown meat. I would just dare say that eating like raw earthworms is better than eating lab-grown meat. Although I have eaten raw earthworms, and I did not recommend them.
Did you say how good the Impossible Burger was? Did you like it?
I did not like it.
Oh, did not.
I found it to be wanting. Let's put it that way. Okay. It was wanting. But at least it's real, you know?
Yeah.
But I still look at that and go, it's one of those things where I look at it and go, if you're just desperate for the taste of meat, why do we have to have an entire market of fake meat for you to feel like you've done what you need to do? I mean, just eat meat. Guess what? We have lived all these centuries and millennia eating meat. Jenny from Decatur Says, what else is expected from a bunch of climate worshipers? Airborne. Jerry from Decatur. Says, what else is expected from a bunch of climate worshipers? Airborne. Yep. Appreciate you, Jerry. Airborne to you, brother. All the way. Colin from Decatur says, it will be interesting to see if the legal cases that come out of the discrimination for fake men and women versus religious discrimination being against God's image. I look at this, at some point there's going to have to be a religious accommodation if there's not already. I mean, I know we've seen like some private Christian schools are not required to have, you know, transgender bathrooms in certain states. And then you got, you know, questions of like, a convent being required to have health insurance that provides abortion care. And it makes no sense anyway. But it's going to be interesting to see how long it takes for the whole transgender movement to become a question of religious accommodation. And by the way, if you didn't see it, a very disturbing story this past weekend is at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, a transgender funeral. They did not portray it to the church diocese accurately, and the church was shocked and dismayed to find out later on they basically held a mockery of God type service in St. Patrick's Cathedral. John from Huntsville says, Phil, do you know there's a product called cheeseburger in a can? John, you're bothering me right
I'm
now.
I'm looking it up right now.
Cheeseburger in a can? Cheeseburger in a can. That just, I don't know, something about that bothers me, but I'm going to move on. Marie from Madison says, Marie of Madison, I shared with some of my friends on social media the fable of the emperor's new clothes and stated that it is the perfect analogy of Joe Biden and his cognitive decline. As I'm listening to your show, I think it can be applied to what's happening in our nation at large with all the transgender and multigender and non-binary foolishness. Marie, well said. Thank you for that. As we head to the break, what do you got? You got some cheeseburger in a can over there? Is it real?
No, it's just meme images. I mean, maybe there's some space food, you know, like squirt. The squirt con.
That's still nasty. That's still awful.
Yeah.
Just eat yogurt, man. Call it done. Exactly. All right. Taking a break. Coming right back. National Insecurity. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, I tell you what, during the break, you hear those ads playing. Let me just say something here. Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business. We are an entity unto ourselves. When you hear us live on the radio every day, that's a show that we send to them. They don't own our content. But like every other business, we got to support ourselves the same as anybody else does. And one of the ways we do that is through selling ads. So if you're listening to the show right now, hear this. You may be a Right Side ruffian. You have goods and services to sell. Well, we are told that with all our stations combined that we got well over 30,000 people we talk to every single week, got over 1,000 people in our text lines alone. Y'all, I'm just telling you, this is a force to be reckoned with. And if you want to sell to other Right Side ruffians, you might want to advertise on Right Side Radio. All you got to do is not contact the station directly. You contact us. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Got all our stuff on there. But rightsideradio.org has also got the advertising and contact tab where you can just send us a message and Lauren will jump right on it and get right back to you. Had several last week who inquired and she took care of them. So yes, indeed, if you would like to advertise on Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org, send us a message. All right, I'm jumping into number two of the Triple Dipper. By the way, don't forget, top of the hour, we will have Scott Buttram, publisher from the Trustful Tribune, on the show with us. And then we'll be switching gears at that point, talking about things that we don't want in our backyard, like, oh, the crime rate in Birmingham is out of control. But let me talk about some national insecurity issues. So you may recall that last week, and I pulled this story off Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday. Daily Wire, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner said on Sunday he believes the Biden administration will begin to take the threat of a Russian space nuclear weapon more seriously now that it's been exposed. So you may recall that last week, Congressman Turner, who chairs House Intel, called out the Biden administration publicly, asking for them to declassify a briefing that he had received just that morning. Now, this is a highly unusual step, y'all. He basically got out there in a briefing that he was given as a part of his role as a chairman of House Intel, he saw or heard or experienced some things in that briefing that he thought, this is too much for us not to say something. He felt like it was dire to the point that it needed to be addressed on an issue of national security, so much so that he called for the administration to declassify the contents of the briefing and to let the world know what was being said. So he says the threat is very serious. Everyone who looked at it used the same language I have. It's a very serious threat, and I'm very glad the administration is beginning to take action. He said, we met with Jake Sullivan, that's the national security advisor. He began to lay out a plan that hopefully will begin to address this. He said, I understand Secretary Blinken at Munich met with leaders from China and India. That certainly would be an important step in trying to avert this. I think it's interesting that he used the words trying to avert this, meaning something is in the works. What exactly is it? Well, what we understand is it's a very likely nuclear capability launched into space to destroy GPS and communications satellite networks that the U.S. relies on. Y'all, how can I begin to, I think most of y'all understand this already, but your GPS is more than just a navigator in your car. It's more than just Waze that we use, you know, to find out whether there's a traffic jam up ahead of us on the interstate. The GPS, the global positioning systems that we have right now, all of our military hardware relies on it. We are completely GPS dependent now. When you hear about things like guided missiles, they are GPS guided. You have some that wind up having laser designation from the ground troops on the site, but most of them nowadays are GPS. Aircraft that flies from one place to another, like you're just taking your commuter flight to, you know, I don't know, Seattle. GPS guided. When you have medical that's looking for an ambulance to get to your house on time, very often nowadays guided by GPS. You have trucking and shipment of goods through the supply chain system tracked via GPS systems. GPS has worked its way into the point that right now, even your cell phone is dependent upon GPS systems to tell it what zone you're in so it changes the time on your phone. All of our systems are GPS-centric now. Even right down to some medical capabilities wind up being GPS because they work off of altitude or they work off of location or they work off of the ability for someone to be identified by their location before they can then use it. It's on and on and on and on. It has embedded itself into the very fabric of our technologically based society. If you take out our GPS systems, our global positioning satellites, you could do irreparable harm that would take who knows how long to put back in place. Because for every satellite that's damaged or removed, you got to wait for another launch to put one back up into just the correct position. So that being said, the point was made, though, that during this discussion on Sunday morning, Kristen Welker on Meet the Press was talking to House Intel Committee Chairman Mike Turner. And Welker then tried to say, well, President Biden said last week the threat was not nuclear. What the president actually said was the threat did not present a nuclear threat to the people of America or anybody else in the world because the purported weapon, though, would be designed to go into space and destroy satellites. So Turner, the House chairman, says, what I've called for is the administration to declassify it. My concern is this is kind of like a Chinese spy balloon. The administration is kind of, you know, perhaps in a mode of inaction. This becomes more and more public. The administration begins to grapple what we're dealing with. I think they're going to take it seriously. And he goes on, by the way, Representative Mike Waltz, the former Green Beret, who's now in Congress from Florida, he talked about it. He said, if this weapon is allowed to fully deploy, it can completely blind our economy. It could take out our GPS. It could blind our military. It's incredibly serious. It's a weapon of mass destruction, not just of us, but countries all over the world. And he went on to say, he believes that Vladimir Putin may have actually calculated that we are far more dependent on space than he is, so using it would be to his advantage and not the other way around. He then went on to say, it was the radio silence from the White House, the appearance that the administration was just sleepwalking as the threat grew, that really drove the idea of demanding that they make some kind of a declassification move. Y'all, this is big doings. Now, the White House, militarytimes.com, has the White House trying to tell people this is not a national security threat. We're working the issue. Okay, it was enough to be part of a classified briefing that got the House Intel Chairman, for the first time I can remember ever, calling for something to be declassified and made known to the general public. But that's the world in which we live. If we are sitting here today and GPS went out, this radio show would probably much come off the air for a period of time. TV would likely go out. Communications would likely go down. Military capability would be reduced to, you know, World War II levels. You're looking at a complete change in the way you and I know life. And would we survive as a people? We would. But we would be back to community-based living and not national-based living. We'd be back to localized supply chains. We'd be back to communications at a much slower rate. You'd be looking for grandma's dial phone and plugging it back into the wall. So, yes, we are fully dependent upon geosynchronous orbit of satellites. And if they have that capability or they're trying to get that capability, it's certainly something that we need to deal with on a national, even international scale. While I'm talking about national insecurity, interesting thing this morning, my interpreter from Afghanistan, who I still keep in touch with, he's been on the show a couple of times. He emailed me and he's got two family members and he's got one other guy that also worked with my team when I was there that are still trying 3 years later to get their special immigrant visa. Meanwhile, you've got millions streaming across the border illegally, getting free housing in luxury hotels in downtown New York. But the guy who worked with my team in Afghanistan has been 3 years trying to get a special immigrant visa through the U.S. Department of State under the Biden administration. Unbelievable. Having said that, Daily Wire has a piece out today. The Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda is reportedly rapidly growing inside of Afghanistan just only a couple of years after President Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from the country. That just infuriates me. I was there at the beginning of the war. I was there when the place was still smoking, when we were still, you know, I've got a shell sitting on the shelf at my house from a Spectre gunship that was firing during Operation Anaconda as they were trying to, you know, chase bin Laden through the Tora Bora Mountains. And the idea that I was there right after 9/11 and saw my life and all the lives of so many others I served with and who came in before and after me, you know, completely uplifted and or uprooted and head over there and do what we got to do. I get it. That was a job. But we had to do it because Al-Qaeda was allowed to foment and to fester over there in that place. And now we're reading that, thank you, Joe Biden, they're doing it again. Report from the UN Security Council at the end of last month said that despite the Taliban's claims that the relationship between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda remains close, and the Al-Qaeda maintains a holding pattern in Afghanistan under its Taliban patronage. The report said the Taliban is trying to hide its relationship with Al-Qaeda, even though many inside the Taliban share the same extreme ideologies. Al-Qaeda has established 5 madrasas, that's the fundamentalist Islamic schools for indoctrination, in places like Laghman, Kunar, Nangarhar, Nuristan, and Parwan provinces. Yeah, places where we fought and bled, by the way. The group maintains safe houses to facilitate their movement between Afghanistan and the Islamic Republics of Iran in the provinces of Herat, Farah, and Helmand, with additional safe houses in Kabul. And the special report from the Special Investigator General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, also released at the end of last month, said it was unclear whether the Taliban could or was willing to even stop the Islamic terrorist groups inside the country from being able to conduct operations. Oh, my gosh. I'll just be honest with you. I don't feel safer with Biden in office. Not at all. We're going to take a break right now, but I got to ask you, do you feel like we have the ability to lead, guide, and direct on the world stage in major military action right now? I think we have great troops. I think we suffer at a commander-in-chief, national command authority level. It's awful. Absolutely awful. All right, I got more national insecurity. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower up in here. Okay, I got a bunch of text messages, but I got to finish up a few more stories, and I will catch up with you guys momentarily. But if anybody else wants to text in or call in, they can do it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. National insecurity. We're still dealing with issues with the Houthis. Oh, yeah. The Houthis. Cargo ship, according to Daily Wire, cargo ship was attacked by Houthi terrorists off the coast of Yemen on Sunday. British Maritime Authority said the attack happened 35 nautical miles south of Yemen. So they're basically 35 miles out, y'all. 35 miles out, and they're still being attacked by Yemen. Subsequent updates said the crew was actually forced to abandon the ship due to the damage from a reported fire on board. So that's great. So you've got a large cargo ship, probably one of those vessels carrying the huge amounts of containers, and it is now floating without a crew. That's awesome. The ship also, it says, turned off its automatic identification system once it entered the region to make it harder for the terrorists and Iran to locate and target the ship. That's some interesting reporting. So we know that Iran's proxy is, one of Iran's proxies is the Houthis, right? We do. That's a given. We know that Biden took them off the terrorism list, which boggles the mind. He's now had to put them back on. Why? Oh, because they're shooting at ships. That's why. But U.S. Central Command says in a statement that it conducted 5 self-defense strikes against 3 mobile anti-ship cruise missiles, 1 unmanned underwater vessel, and 1 unmanned surface vessel. Let me describe that to you. You've got 3 anti-ship cruise missiles being fired from shorelines. Then you've got what is now being called the first ever observed Houthi employment of an underwater unmanned vessel. That's basically a guided torpedo. They've never been known to have that before, and now they do. The ante keeps getting upped every time we turn around. And that's happening on Biden's watch right now. Speaking of which, he might go, well, we're not the ones, and we're not at war with Yemen. We didn't try for this. We didn't want the broader conflict. Well, okay. When you took office, you immediately reduced the sanctions on Iran. You made sure they had the ability to pursue their own sale of oil to get funding so they could then feed their proxies. And then their proxies, one of them was the Houthis, which, Mr. Biden, within the first month or so of being in office, you took off the terrorism list. And that means that there were no more longer any sanctions and other trade embargoes against them. And then, oh, by the way, they stepped up their game and began shooting at ships. No, it's not your fault. Just an interesting coincidence. Yeah, so I will just go ahead and say that I'll skip the rest of that article, but the bottom line is the Houthis are not letting up. Don't forget, we have done multiple coalition airstrikes against Houthi emplacements and weapon sites and missile sites in the last couple of months and the last 6 weeks and more to come if this keeps up, and yet they're still shooting. So apparently it's not deterring anything with the way that Biden is handling it. Last couple I've got here, you might want to know just in terms of national security. This is on the home front. So the Texas National Guard, with assistance even from the Alabama National Guard and others, is working Operation Lone Star at the southern border. They have had a massive impact, by the way. Eagle Pass, Texas has seen a massive reduction in illegal border crossings since the Texas National Guard. And by the way, the Biden administration has been threatening legal action and how we're gonna make you stop. They ain't making nobody do nothing. So Abbott said on Friday that he's looking at the state of Texas is going to build a FOB, basically. Any of y'all have deployed before know what I'm talking about, a forward operating base, because he's got 1,800 Texas National Guard. He needs a place where they can come and go and set up and have facilities and have way stations and have, processing and have support and not have to keep, living in pup tents or on the back of their vehicles or, for that matter, in a hotel. So the governor said the first 300 beds are going to be ready by April. promising not to reduce any Texas resources on the border anytime soon. He said, we will consolidate our forces as opposed to being scattered around many different places. They'll be operating out of one place. Have you ever heard of this? I mean, when has the United States had to set up? We're going back now to the days of the border outposts where the cavalry had forts set up, you know, out in the Wild West. Now Texas is having to set up a FOB for National Guardsmen to be quartered and maintained. That's unbelievable. Lastly, I will say there's been some encouragement on the recruiting side. Story here from the Air Force Times, Dateline this weekend. Air Force recruiting rebounds while Army and Navy still struggles. Says the Pentagon ended fiscal year 2023 on a sour note for military recruiting, falling tens of thousands short of what it called the toughest recruiting year for military services since the inception of the all-volunteer force. Well, the Air Force has so far managed to reverse its misfortunes, exceeding its current goals, which is great news. But the Army and the Navy still struggling way behind on their numbers for recruiting. National insecurity. All right, folks, stay tuned. We'll be calling Scott Buttram, publisher of Trustful Tribune, here momentarily. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Yeah, that story about Birmingham, the murders, and by the way, it gets real personal for me when I think about, you know, some of the best memories of my life are growing up at my granny and granddaddy's house, especially in the summers or, you know, hanging out on the holidays, and I would run around Wylam, you know, just barefoot in the summer, running up and down the streets. Granny lived at 229 Memphis Street. I can still remember it. Went to the Wylam Baptist Church where my dad grew up in that house. My dad and my uncle, they grew up in the Wylam Baptist Church. All my cousins and everybody lived all around there. And then, you know, we'd go into Inslee. That was big doings. Go into Inslee to eat at the Inslee Grill and to, you know, shop downtown. What was that called? Was it Hammers? I've forgotten the name of it now. But you know, Dad went to Inslee High School, and that was a whole lot of my growing up. And to see the decline of that part of town to be so drastic, like Scott said, there's parts you just don't drive in at night anymore. And you know, and these two murders, two of these six murders, the bodies were found. What I would believe is just, you know, blocks away from my granny's house where I used to play as a kid. Other stories in this, not in my backyard, wanting to make sure y'all are aware. So, and by the way, some of these things are happening, but they're catching the bad guys when it's happening. So WAAY-TV out of Huntsville reports that as of this past Friday, it says a warning for parents as the National Children's Advocacy Center in Huntsville says child exploitation and sexual abuse is on the rise in North Alabama, but nine men were arrested in Limestone County where they traveled to believe they were having sex with children. And it says they're allowed to get out of jail on bail, waiting for their cases to move forward. But Jared Hudson, who's been on this show multiple times, Jared's just an amazing guy, former Navy SEAL, lives in Birmingham, ran for sheriff, actually runs an organization called the Covenant Rescue Group. They teamed up with Limestone County Sheriff's Office to help take down these nine men. In a two-day sting operation, the charges now range from human trafficking to traveling to meet a child for sex. Hudson said these cases are not just happening in North Alabama, and this is the last year alone his organization helped make 87 felony arrests across the country. And it's recommended, by the way, I heartily agree with this. Absolutely agree. You have to have the conversation with your kids. You know, the stranger danger conversations. The conversations about, you know, if you get on social media, you don't talk to people you don't know. If someone texts you and you don't know who they are, you don't respond. If someone says, hey, can I give you a ride? Your mommy wants to talk to you. I'll take you to her. You don't do it. Have those conversations and let them know too, that there are things that people do that should not be allowed to happen and you don't have to accept it. And you should, you know, you should tell your mom and dad if something happens. I thank God every day for people like Jared Hudson and his group, Covenant Rescue Group. We need to have him on again sometime soon. And the work that they do. But they're not the only ones. I mean, we had a human trafficking sting operation up in down in Montgomery, netted 15. We'll talk about that after the break as I'm doing NIMBY, not in my backyard. That's right. Crime in Alabama. I'm saying let's get her done, folks. Upfund your law enforcement. Take care of your Leos. We need them like never before. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground. Y'all, that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care, with locations like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. They are open 7 days a week at all locations. They will see all ages. I'm talking like pediatric to geriatric, right? They'll see everybody. I mean, you get sick on a Saturday morning, you're going to wait till Monday? No, go see Southern Immediate Care. And by the way, I always say it, but this is true. It's who I use. This is who I use personally, and not because they advertise. I was using them before and was so pleased with how clean and friendly and professional they were that I asked them would they consider advertising. I mean, I told them I could brag on this. And they said, well, yeah, we will. And it's kind of easy when they're, you know, owned by a Right Side ruffian. Pretty good there, huh? Anyway, check them out. Southern Immediate Care. You need medical attention. You check them out. Find the location nearest to you. Head on down. They will be there for you. And do me a favor. When you're there, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Got a bunch of text messages, which I'm going to get to momentarily. I will say this. Judy from Pinson just corrected me. Jared Hudson would have been an awesome sheriff, and she points out it should be sheriff. Did I say? I guess I said sheriff of some. Anyway, Jefferson County is where he was running. I'm not sure what I said, but she's letting me know. Judy from Pinson. Appreciate you, Judy. This NIMBY situation I'm doing, not in my backyard. I refuse to have that in my backyard. I don't want that in my backyard. You can't put that in my backyard. I'm getting that out of my backyard. The crime rate in certain parts of Alabama is on par with anything you might see in Atlanta or Chicago or New York City. And it shouldn't have to be that way. But there are good men and women in law enforcement out there, you know, walking the thin blue line. And I'm telling you, this show will always support our law enforcement. Thank you all for what you do. And the fact that you put on that uniform daily and you wear that badge and you go into places where the rest of us might not want to go to do things that we don't want to do to keep life as we know it in a straight and even keel. And we recognize on this show the sacrifices y'all make. I just want to say it again how much we appreciate you. Story here on Alabama Daily News came out today, as a matter of fact. Human trafficking sting operation nets 15 arrests in Montgomery. Love this. I mean, I hate that it had to happen, but I love this. 15 suspects were arrested after state and federal agencies conducted a joint operation targeting sex traffickers. Y'all, this is Alabama. This is not a thing out in San Francisco. It's right here. That's your capital city. Assistant Chief Deputy Wesley Richardson with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office shared details of the operation during a televised press conference, said the suspects in this case targeted and solicited individuals online through chat rooms, social media, and other sites, and they agreed to engage in sex acts with individuals they believed to be children. Furthermore, these suspects then traveled to designated locations to engage in these unlawful sex acts. All 15 were being held on a $500,000 bond, charged with three crimes, which includes things like Class A felonies, Class B felonies, Class B felonies again, looking at 10 to life in prison for some of them. You know, good job, fellas. Absolutely. And by the way, one of those that was arrested was an Alabama corrections officer working at the Kilby Correctional Facility in Montgomery. That's messed up. I mean, he's technically a law enforcement officer. He's working in corrections, but he wears a badge. I will say, too, that, you know, it's not always what you would expect. Like, that was a corrections officer, was one of the 15 that was netted in that sex trafficking sting. How about this? Story just 2 weeks ago. Attorney General Steve Marshall announces the indictment of an 11th Judicial Circuit judge. Wow. Okay. Keep in mind, a circuit court judge is one of those who puts people in jail. The circuit court judges preside over criminal proceedings on a regular basis to include up to capital murder. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall announced the indictment and the arrest of 11th Judicial Circuit Judge Gilbert Self, 61 years old, of Florence, Alabama, right here in our listening area. 16 counts of the use of his office for personal gain or the gain of family members, one count of making a false representation, and another count of perjury. Self surrendered himself to the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Office. Wow. Anyway, he took trips on public dime. He repaid himself for things without, you know, receipts to prove that they were true. He's looking at up to 20 years in prison. That's a circuit court judge. But he was caught. So far, I want to point out, we had those six murders in one day in Birmingham, and the suspects are still at large. If you have any information, they are looking for information, and you can call, and I've got the number here. Let me see if I can find it again. Darn it. Yeah, the number you can call, I believe, is Crime Stoppers. I don't have the number, but I'll find it. But you can certainly call the Birmingham PD if you have any information on that. The rest of these, what I want to point out is I'm telling you stories about things that we're catching people in. We're catching them. But I will point out, too, that last year, Birmingham, story on 1819 News, in May of last year, said that the year prior to that had been Birmingham's most violent year since the early 90s. Sources have ranked the city as one of the most unsafe in the country. Meanwhile, Birmingham suburbs like Vestavia and Mountain Brook had considerably low crime rates, and Vestavia even ranked among the safest places to live. According to the Birmingham PD, the city saw 46 homicides in May of that year alone, by May of that year alone. Three of them were justified. They call them basically, they were basically good shoots, I guess, where somebody had to defend themselves. But the last year, this time last year, which would be in the 2022 timeframe, Birmingham had already experienced 48. By the end of the year, they hit 144. I'm just gonna say we have got to be on our guard, watching for this. Say something, see something, say something, and support your law enforcement. And by the way, do me this. I just want to encourage you guys to do something. It's not uncommon to be somewhere to eat and to see, you know, local law enforcement or first responders, you know, ambulance crews or firemen stopping in to get a bite to eat. At the very least, look at them and just say, hey, thanks for what you do. And that's I wind up saying that all the time. Hey, man, thanks for what you do. Appreciate you. You have no idea what it means to them to hear that. I'll never forget being a soldier returning from war, walking through the airport and having people thank me for my service. You have no idea what that word means when someone actually thanks you, because you've been somewhere you don't know if anybody knows or understands what you're going through, and then somebody up and says, hey, man, thanks for what you do. Hey, officer, thank you for what you do. Appreciate you. I want to encourage you guys, tell them. And then, oh, by the way, every once in a while, some of y'all have the means. Some of you don't, but some of you have the means to do it. If you see a police car behind you in the drive-through line, just consider paying their bill as you're pulling in ahead of them. Now, I will say this. The other day, I was in a Jack's drive-through. I forget what I was. I think I was getting a biscuit and heading somewhere. I was in a Jack's drive-through. And a local police officer pulled in the line behind me. And I thought, well, I'm going to take my own advice. Got up to the window and I said, hey, I'd like you to tell me what the guy's bill is behind you. And she looked at me. She goes, oh, it's a, oh, wait a minute. She leaned out and looked back. She goes, he's a police officer. And I said, I know. And she said, they eat for free here. And I went, do they really? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, well, then tell him I said thanks for his service at the very. So basically, I did not know that. I'm not sure if that was a local Jack's rule or all of Jack's, but I found that to be just amazing that a restaurant feeds the law enforcement in the area for free. And so if anybody knows for a fact whether that's a localized thing, like just my local Jack's does it, or whether all of them do it, I'd like to know. But for the Jack's in Southside in Etowah County, thank you very much. And to you, law enforcement, thank you very much. We appreciate you. A couple of text messages for the break, and then we'll get a few more after the break. James from Harvest says there was a sting like that one in Limestone County just last week. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. You must have missed it when I read that out, James. He said, my son works for Limestone County Sheriff's Department. He was not directly involved in the arrest, however. But, well, I'll tell you what, James, tell your son thank you for his service, and we appreciate what he does. Thomas from Athens says, interesting NIMBY discussion with Scott. Said, I judge that Mayor Woodfin find it much easier to play national politics and to handcuff police tactics than he does to actually solve Birmingham's crime and homicide crisis. I would agree with you. It's a whole lot easier to talk big about being a sanctuary city than it is to deal with the migration, right? Well, it's a whole lot easier to talk about how we're going to go lighter on crime and make people feel good about living here than it is about making people feel secure about living here. Raven from Russellville says, got to love them sanctuary cities. Sarcasm intended, he says. And then Racing from Milan, Racing from Hawaii says, love every minute of Right Side Radio, Brother Phil. Trust our Lord no matter what happens. His followers are and will be with him always. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Racing. All right, man, let's take a break. We'll take the last break of the day. We'll head in, and then we'll come back. Close out with a few more text messages. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. James from Harvard's got the message. James, I'm glad. He says, I'll certainly tell him that you said that, and thank you for everything you do. Thank you, James. Appreciate you, man. And thanks for raising a son who wants to serve like that. David from Huntsville says, Phil, I hope everyone listening sends your Russian satellite weapons and Democrat something administration expose to at least 10. Okay. Appreciate you, man. He's talking about the section I did on national insecurity. JT Lacey Springs, going back to that national insecurity discussion, said if GPS goes out, Rand McNally could prosper. Yeah. But who would teach the current culture to read them? Think about it. It's a great point. GPS satellites and communications arrays, you suddenly lose the ability to have the internet. How will people get by without their social media? Anyway, Mike from Harvest, Phil, lose too many satellites and all of them get destroyed by debris, then no satellites can be put into orbit and survive. That's a great point, man. Once, if something like this happens, it's gonna defeat the ability to then, you know, probably safely launch and maintain a new satellite array just because of the amount of debris floating around up there, I would think. You're right. Great point, Mike. Mark from Huntsville says, Colonel, I have it on good word. There are secret transgender terrorist brigades being formed to take over huge portions of our nation. We cannot trust anyone wearing a dress. We seriously need gender police to round up these terrorists. Okay, Mark, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm not sure that that's a real text. Okay. Duff from Huntsville said, notice recently Biden only seems to talk to the press when he's getting ready to board Marine One with all the noise. He can't hear the questions. And we certainly can understand him. I'm thinking this is intentional. Duff, you may be on to something, brother. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to end the show on a slightly separate note. Not a dipper, just something that I think bears noting. We are sitting right now at February the 19th. We are literally just, how many years is this now? Goodness. Is it 80 years? We're at 79 years today that the Battle of Iwo Jima commenced. I say that not only because it was an amazing and iconic battle. You know, you've seen the Marine Corps emblem is still of the men raising the flag up on Mount Suribachi. But we have a photograph of Charlene's grandfather on the beach at Iwo Jima. As he was a Marine there, and it was taken by somebody, you know, they had those combat camera guys that went ashore and did everything that the troops did, trying to record it for posterity. And there was a book that was actually published by the Marine Corps. It was an official documented history of the Battle of Iwo Jima, and there's a picture of her grandfather, literally a Marine on the beach trying to make cover out of a place where there was no cover. So anyway, to those of you, you know, who have history with the Corps, Semper Fi, and thank you for what you did. And I think it's worth noting that we're losing that generation. I mean, there's not many of them left. And I would dare say that we're losing the ones, you know, who fought in World War II, like on a daily basis, really. But the Battle of Iwo Jima, February 19, 1945, till 26 March 1945. And I'll see if I can find the number of killed and wounded. Wow. Okay. I mean, we're looking at upwards of 110,000 forces that went onto the island. And if I scroll through this write-up on it, I'm sure it says in here somewhere what our dead and wounded was, but I don't find it right off the top of my head. But the bottom line is this: Iwo Jima, 79 years ago today. We also, had a whole section on fake meat. And your lovely wife has already said, don't worry, not in my kitchen.
Oh, yeah. We're not doing fake meat. She's making a surprise meal tonight. I don't know what it is, though.
But it's not gonna involve any of that fake meat.
No, probably
not. Nothing grown in a dish.
No.
Or what do they call it? Cultured in a vat? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I actually, John texted in about a cheeseburger website.
A cheeseburger website?
Cheeseburgerinacan.com.
Oh, yeah.
And it says it's made for the extreme athlete, the all-terrain camper, or the desert fox.
What is it? Is it real meat? What is it? Is it like?
It looks like a joke.
Okay. I mean, I have had, you know, how many times have you ever had a can of deviled ham? I mean, it's like, you know, it's a can of meat.
Sounds disgusting.
It sounds disgusting. Spam, I'll be honest with you. I had a spam sandwich not long ago.
Spam is not bad.
Spam's good food. I'm not sure what a spam is.
If you fry it on the flat grill or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Put that thing in there and you know, cook it up and put it on some bread, a little mustard and some salt and
eat it with
cheese.
Some eggs.
Oh, eat it with some eggs?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And by the way, spam will stay in a can. If you're prepping for the zombie apocalypse, a few cans of spam in the closet's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
They won't be growing fake meat if the zombie apocalypse comes.
I'd rather eat spam than Vienna sausages. I can't do it.
So my earliest memory of Vienna sausages was that's how my granddad gave medicine to his dog.
That's not a bad idea.
He would embed the pill in a Vienna sausage and feed it to him.
That's a good idea. I'm going to use that one, actually.
John from Decatur says, Phil and Big Ray get an A double plus for their equally amazing performances. However, today's winner, I knew he was going to do it, is obviously Scott Buttram with an A triple plus. Perfection and congratulations. Also, he says, I just want to note that everybody earned extra credit points just for doing a live show on President's Day because today the Dale Jackson Show was a rerun. Was it really? You mean we could have taken the day off, bro? What was I thinking? The courthouse was closed? We could have had a day.
Yeah, I think my daughter said, you don't have to go to work today. And I said, yes, I do. Now I know what she meant by that.
Well, you just tell her that's because Uncle Phil said we had important business. Important business. Right here. Larry from Decatur says, Phil, last week I heard you say something that made me wonder if Sarah Stewart is the person her campaign ads presents. Where can I get more information? I'm not sure which one you heard, except you might have heard the discussion about the pro-life bill that was passed with her concurrence, but she did not author the opinion. But then there was also some real concern a week or so beforehand, Larry, that seemed to indicate that in the past, she had been very favorable to LGBTQ causes, like when she was even all the way back to college days, when she refused to limit some things they were trying to do on campus when she was in student government. So I'll be honest with you. I think that that race is up for grabs right now, and I think Brian Taylor is really a rock solid conservative, and I've known him for I've known him for many years. He's a good dude. All right. What a great day. What an amazing day. And we'll be back here tomorrow with a live show. So, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.